Inna hudna ilik. We turn towards you. Then the verse goes again. That this dua is answered, it's already accepted. Allah Ta'ala has answered this dua. But this answer is, this dua is answered on behalf of which people? Dua has been answered, you will get the good of both this world and the next. But who is the one who will get the good of both the worlds? So the Quran actually says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Those who follow the unlettered Nabi, whom they find in record in the Torah and the Injil. This is one of the mu'jiza and the miracles of the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif says that they find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Torah. Right? Now, if you look at the Jews, they were against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through and through. They didn't want to hear of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They plotted to kill him. If you look at the Battle of Khandaq, then it was instigated by them, right? And then they joined hands with the Quraysh, etc., but instigated by these people. So they plotted to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the one who poisoned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a Jewess. That eventually led to his demise. Then the one that had made jadu for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a Halif of a Jew, alliance of the Jew, Labid ibn Asam. So they did everything possible to eliminate Islam and to move Rasulullah off the surface of this earth. They tried war, they tried to bribe others to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tried to poison him, they made jadu. So there wasn't anything, any effort left not to hurt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not to injure him. Now, this challenge has been thrown to you. Okay, you find me in your books. You find me, in other words, you find my mention in your books. So it was a challenge for them. All they could have said, okay, we don't find your name recorded in our books. But they couldn't say it, because it was a fact. There was a case of fornication, see. So, it was being disputed amongst the Jews. Now, what do we do with this person? Lengthy case, now what do we do? It's a married person, man and a woman, and they're fornicated. What do we do? So initially, they were looking for some type of a compromise situation. What had happened was, there were two leading tribes amongst the Jews. The Banu Qurayza and Banu Nazir, the two leading tribes. So, the more influential tribe, zina was committed by one person from the tribe that was more influential. They got the finance, they got the influence. So when it's more influential than your money talks, paisa phenk or tamasha dekh. See, the Jewish protocol goes as follows, that give me the wealth of a nation, and thereafter, I don't care who makes the laws. Because I can influence the law also. If I have got the wealth, I can influence the law. So, now, a member of the Banu Nazir, the more influential, wealthy, more affluent, and he has committed zina. So the law, what is the law? The original law is to stone them to death, finish, end of the story. But how can we kill such a influential person, such a great person, how can we kill him? What will happen to him? What will happen to his family? Reputation will be broken down. So they came to a compromise. What we will do? Alright, we will blacken his face and parade him around the town. Now, after a few days, someone from the Banu Qurayza, that was now the inferior tribe, they committed the same crime. When they committed the same crime, then there was a whole motion again that this person has committed this crime, he must be stoned to death. So they objected, okay, if you are stoning our person, then you must stone your own person as well. So now the law had to be passed for both, for the influential and for the inferior. But the law will be now that if anybody commits this crime here, then his face will be blackened, and both the woman and the man, both who are guilty of fornication, they'll be placed onto a mount facing on opposite ends. That means the backs will be together, both will be facing on opposite ends, and they will be paraded right around the town. That was the law. So the Jews were a conspiring people, conspiring, conniving. They were always in the, up to this day. Now, just to show you how conniving they were, how conniving and conspiring. In the Bani Israel, there was a situation, if someone was guilty, then they would go to a mountain, see. Say for example, we accuse you of stealing. So we'll go to a mountain, go right on the top. And if you are speaking a lie, then the mountain will throw you over, you will die straight away. If you are speaking a lie, the mountain will have a shiver and it will throw you over. Now, a woman had fornicated and the husband had some evidence, but the evidence was not absolutely conclusive. The husband is saying, no, see, you have committed this wrong, you'll have to go to this mountain. She said, yeah, definitely you must go. Go to that mountain and get this thing cleared for once and for all. In the meanwhile, what she did was, she had told her lover, see, this is what happened on this day, so you must be there. So you must be pretending as though you are the one that takes people on top of the mountain. You know, you have a taxi or something, so you are doing a ferry. For anybody that's wanting to go on the top of the mountain, you must be there. So it's all arranged now. So now, both the husband and the wife came in, they found that ferry. Say, alright, you'll take me on the top, this is the fee. So as she's about to mount the donkey, she did as though she slipped and she fell. And when she fell, all her clothes were uncovered. Her body was revealed. Whole body was revealed. So anyway, she covered herself and all that. And she went up with her husband, with this person here. Now, it's a time to take that oath that I am free of this type of accusation. I am guilty or I am free. If you're going to say you are free, if you are guilty, then the mortal will throw you off. So now, see what she says. She says, O Allah, if besides my husband and besides this man he had ever seen my body, Allah throw me off. The mountain also shook at that point. At that point, the mountain also shook. What conniving? What type of conniving? So they did everything, all conspiracies and conniving, everything they did. But the mountain couldn't drop him. It couldn't drop the person because what they were saying was the right. Only this person had saw her body, and the husband had seen the body. Right? So she couldn't be proved totally guilty. But the mountain also shivered. You see the level of conspiracies. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that so they agreed, they came to a common term that if anybody commits this act of fornication, then both will be, the faces will be painted black and they'll be mounted onto a donkey, they'll be paraded right on the town. They agreed on that. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had come to Medina Munawwara and someone was guilty of this fornication. So there was a whole commotion going on now. Okay, let's go to this Nabi. Because this Nabi has come with takhfif. He has come with a lot of relaxed laws. In tu'tuhu fahz, in lam tu'tuhu fahzaru. Go to this Nabi. If you find the law to be relaxed, then accept it. But if it is not relaxed, then you don't have to accept it. Go to this Nabi, and if the law that he says is relaxed, then accept it. And if it's not relaxed, then you can reject it. So anyway, they're still negotiating this whole thing, what must be done. So they brought the Torah. There was a pillow. So Rasul placed the Torah on the pillow and he opened the page pertaining to zina or whatever else. So as the verses were being read, where it comes right onto the verse of zina, one person put his hand right on that verse. See the conspiracy, how they plan, how they plot. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu says, he was an alim of the Torah. He says, Ya Adu Allah, enemy of Allah Ta'ala, take your hands off. When he took his hands off, that verse of zina was clear in that Torah, that if anybody commits this guna, then he must be stoned to death. Okay. So they find the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their own books, and they couldn't reject it. So this is a miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they couldn't reject it. They couldn't say it. All they had to say, that we don't find you mentioned in the Torah. But they couldn't say this. They could fight with him. They could attempt to murder him. They could gather all the wealth to eliminate Islam. They could poison him. They could make jadu. But ask them just to reject this. They can't reject it because it's in the Kitab. You see, it's a miracle of the Quran Sharif. يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. So the description of Nabi Sallam is given in their kitabs. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his birth is in Makkah. Now, according to the Torah, his birthplace is in Makkah. His migration is to Medina Munawwara, and his kingdom will prevail over Syria. And he isn't a person that is aggressive. He's not an aggressive person. And neither does he conduct himself in an aggressive way. Naturally, he is not aggressive, nor does he conduct himself in an aggressive way. He doesn't shout around in places where people normally shout, sahaban fil aswaq. He doesn't shout around, and he doesn't return a wrong with a wrong. Someone has wronged him, he doesn't return the wrong with wrong. Someone slapped him or someone abused him, insulted him, he doesn't return the wrong with the wrong. وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُوا وَيَسْفَهُ. But Nabi Sallam's habit was to forgive and to overlook. That was Nabi Sallam. Now we are talking about Nabi Sallam, and we must see our Nabi Sallam, what was his description. And gradually then you need to bring these things in, not just to speak about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and forget it. No. He is the Imam. You know, if the Imam is in ruku, you will go in ruku. Imam is in sajda, you will go in sajda. Imam gets up, you will get up. But if the imam is in ruku and you in sajda, so you're not following the imam. Your namaz is not valid. So exactly the same, when he's the imam, then you need to follow him. What he's doing, you need to do the same. Then you will be called a true ummati. But he is doing something and you're doing something else, then you're not called an ummati. So he forgives and he overlooks. That was the style, that was the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to forgive and overlook. Not to pursue, not to talk about all injuries and whatever else. Forgive and forget. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. The people that were bloodthirsty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I don't want to even talk about that. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ. Don't want to even talk about this. Come to Makkah Mukarramah. Oh, forget all the old stories, all buried, all forgotten, everything is forgotten. It's a clean sheet we start off with. Whereas it was the same people that had attempted to murder him. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. They tried to chain him, they tried to assassinate him, they tried to expel him from Makkah Mukarramah, all these things they tried. But when Nabi Sallam has the upper hand, then he's forgiven. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. الْيَوْمَ يَوْمُ الْمَرْحَمَةِ. Today is the day of mercy. Today is a day of compassion. Today is a day of forgiveness. We'll forgive. One and all will forgive everybody. It's not a day of bloodshed. One person, Zayd ibn Sa'ina, he's also a Jewish rabbi. Right? So, he was near Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a discussion. Some people had accepted Islam. So one sahabi had come up and complained, okay, these people have accepted Islam. I had encouraged them, they accepted Islam. I did tell them, you accept Islam, Allah Baq will help you. And now they're going through a severe spell of drought. Shouldn't we help them out? So this word was being discussed. This Jewish rabbi was sitting near around and he overheard the discussion. So he offered, he said, all right, I'll forward the cash. You can buy the grains and help the people. Payable when able. Whatever. The deal was done. Now before the due date, this person began to demand his cash. Zayd ibn Sa'ina, he began to demand his cash. And he was really rude, abrupt with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You people of the Hashimi family, you're known for prolonging and procrastinating your debts. You're not prompt in payment. So this is the type of words that he was using. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was absolutely silent. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was there, he's witnessing everything. And on account of the respect of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's not saying anything. But he was so furious, he couldn't contain his anger. His eyes were actually turning in the sockets. He was so angry. But now on the one side is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's respect, I can't say anything. But this kafir is insulting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, Rasulullah is watching all this. Nabi is telling Umar that the one that demands payment, he's got the right to speak. I demand my payment, he's got a right. So, when he's got a right, then both of us, we deserve a better treatment than your aggression, O Umar. You're aggressive, both of us need to be treated in a different way. You need to tell him to be more polite in him demanding. And you need to advise me to be more prompt and quick in my payment. See how Nabi Sallam is covering the whole scene. See, unfortunately what happens to us is we get incited and we get spurred up. Someone was spurred up and someone was inside trouble and we become the quick victim. Someone was inside trouble. Yeah, you. And the whole world says, yeah, you. You see now this type of mentality, yeah? It's flowing everywhere. One person must shout one slogan, everybody will just jump the gravy wagon, bandwagon. So that's not the way of Islam. We get incited, we get spurred up. The way of Islam is when there is trouble, that we try and diffuse the trouble. Trouble is coming up, you can see the trouble is coming up, but we diffuse the trouble. That's the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the way of Islam. Not to incite, not to add fuel. No, that's not the way of Islam. Because we haven't learned the Sunnah, we haven't learned the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we see inciting and we see trouble, and then we want to add to that fuel. So anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells her, Umar radiallahu, see, go and pay this person here and give him so much more. Give him so much more. I was calculating, I think, if I remember my figures well, approximately 300-400 kilos more for your showing that type of aggression. See, you showed that aggression, and he didn't deserve that aggression. So you give him 300 or 400 kilos more. Not 3 kilos or 4 kilos, 300 kilos. Anyway, this Zayd ibn Sa'ina, he accompanies Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to go and receive the payment. So whilst receiving the payment, Zayd ibn Sa'ina, he uncovers his face. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu recognizes him. And because of his previous understanding with the Zayd ibn Sa'ina, Umar then asks him, okay, you know, I know you, but what made you behave in this aggressive way? You know, you spoke to him in such aggression, in such harsh words you spoke to him. So he says, you know, مَا مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عَرَفْتُهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ. There wasn't a description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have seen it all in his face. I have seen it. Except one. I didn't see one yet. I wanted to experience it firsthand. Or everything else, I got it. From the Torah, I got it. I see it in Nabi Sallallahu. I'm seeing it from the Torah. I'm seeing it in Nabi Sallallahu. I take it from the Torah and I'm seeing it in Nabi Sallallahu. But one, I wanted to see one firsthand. And I wasn't getting an opportunity to see it firsthand. And that was that if someone was aggressive to him, the more the one becomes aggressive, the more his tolerance grows. As you push, the tolerance grows. The more you push, the more he becomes tolerant. So I wanted to see this firsthand, and today I've seen it. I wanted to see this thing here, that is this in conformity to the Torah or not? And I've seen it and see now. You be a witness that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And oh Umar, I don't need this money. Take all this for the use of Islam. I don't need this money. So يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. So the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in their books as well. In the Torah and the Injil. مَثَلُهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. The description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the description of the Sahaba Kiram, is both in the Torah as well as in the Injil. You see, the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not only in our Shama'il and not only in our Hadith, but it is in their Kitabs as well. The Jews, really, they are jealous, they are envious of this Ummah. Why? For basically two or three reasons. One is that we were favored with the Jummah, and the day that is acceptable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is Jummah. The most accepted day is Jummah. So they were not favored with Jummah, we were favored with Jummah. They had their own problems and the Jummah was moved away from them and they got the Saturday. Right? Whereas the accepted day in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is not the Sabbath, the accepted day is the Jummah. And they didn't get it, it wasn't their luck, we got it. So one of the reasons for their envy and their jealousy is why was the Jummah taken away from them and given to the believers.
And the second reason for their envy and jealousy was that we were favored with the direction of the Qibla. See? The Qibla direction also, they didn't get it. We got the Qibla direction. مَا وَلَّاهُمْ أَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. So we were favored with this direction. Right? And the third reason for their jealousy is that for Islam, Allah Pak says, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. For the rest of time, I've endorsed my pleasure for Islam. Allah Pak didn't endorse his pleasure for any other religion for the rest of time. For a limited period, right, it was endorsed. But perpetual only with Islam. So these were the reasons for their jealousy. حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. The truth became manifest, but it was the jealousy that became the blockage on the road. On the road of acceptance, on the road of progress, the road of Islam, this was the thing that came as a blockage. Okay, why were we not favored? Why were we not favored? Why were they favored? Now that is stupidity to say that because of this I'm not going to accept Islam. Stupidity is folly. The blessings are in the control of Allah Ta'ala. He gives it to whoever He wants. He wants to give it to him, He'll give it to him. He wants to shift it to this person, Allah Pak will give it to this person. Can you, مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. You don't have the right. If it's my money, if I got my staff, I got a complement of say 20 staff, and I chose 2 staffs, right, I'll send them for Hajj this year. The other staff can't complain that why you selected them. I selected them because of some reason. Maybe they are more competent, maybe they are more understanding, maybe they cooperate better, for whatever reason. But you can't complain. It's a bonus. When I'm giving a bonus, then bonus is something that is free. It's not in lieu of your work. So you can't complain. Why didn't you get it? Why you gave it to him? Can't complain. So that became the blockage on their part. That why weren't we favored? Why were these people favored? مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَتَعَالَىٰ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. So يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. بسم الله. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. You see the reasons for preference and the description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Torah, description of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Injil. Now gradually we need to emulate, we need to bring these things in our lives. Okay, what was the way of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How did he conduct himself? What was the level of tolerance? How was his politeness? How was his sublime character? So this thing doesn't come overnight. It comes gradually, but what we need to do is when we are in the confines of our etikaf tents, whatever, then we need to think about this. Now, how do I correct myself when I'm conducting myself with my family, with my friends, with my children? Then how do I bring about this politeness? If someone is going to be harsh towards me and someone is going to be rude towards me, how should I conform? How should I behave? So when you think like this, you reflect like this, gradually you begin to have the tawfiq to accept. Otherwise, now what's happening now presently is we've become a nation of listening to bayans, one tape. As you're going to work, listen to one tape. You just finish the tape and it's forgotten. You rather listen to something small and thereafter think about it. That I've heard about this. I heard how much of this bayan is in me. Is the need just to listen or is the need to practice? Obviously, the need is to practice, not just to listen. The actual need is to practice. I'm just going to listen, then the tapes will just become an entertainment. Nothing more, nothing beyond an entertainment. There won't be any reality, there won't be any substance in it. So now, in our seclusion, we think, alright, am I being polite? Am I being aggressive? If I'm aggressive, how do I correct myself? Which areas do I become aggressive, and how do I then conduct myself? How do I avoid this type of situations? You will think like this, Allah Ta'ala will guide you. Allah Ta'ala will open up the way for you. Allah Ta'ala grant us all that tawfiq, that we begin to emulate Rasulullah SAW in the right way. Like I said, we have appointed him as the Imam. We can only call ourselves the follower if we are following him in all dimensions. Otherwise, if the Imam is in ruku and you in sajda, will anybody say that you are following the Imam? No, you're not following the Imam. You have appointed him as the Imam. He's the leader, so you must follow him in everything. Gradually, how much you can, follow. Eventually, inshallah, then we will get the dua, waj'alna min hizbi, will be amongst the following of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah as well. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq.